This is the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I'm David Walker. I'm joined by my partner in crime, Evan Birchfield. Evan, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, DW. I'm good. It's been a long season, but week 18 finally arrived. Let's talk about this fun little game that occurred at, you know, in the afternoon. I know you love those 4 p.m. games.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing in the world. I don't know if fans realize this. These 4:30 games, like, I would rather do a primetime game because, like, at least you have most of your day, and then, like, from 8 o'clock until 1 in the morning, you're cooked. But for these, it's like, you know, right in the middle of your day, it kicks in, and yeah, now I'm just whining. Anyhow, we are here to recap the Falcons' last game of the 2021 season. Unfortunately, a loss to division rival New Orleans Saints in Atlanta, 30-20. This one was ugly, like, in so many ways. Turnovers, just horrible play, missed tackles. I mean, a lot like the whole Falcons season, honestly. But some significant things did happen in this game. We'll talk about that. Matt Ryan passing another quarterback in the record books. We'll highlight that. But before we get into that, Evan, give us a quick rundown of who the inactives were heading into this game.
Yeah. So for the Falcons, quarterback Josh Rosen, who's essentially been the third string quarterback as they've decided to go with Felipe Franks for most of the weeks to close out the season, was inactive. John Kaminsky, another one who's been pretty much a healthy scratch for most of the year. Frank Darby, James Vaughters, Tyler Davison. The big name was Jalen Mayfield, who pretty much played, I believe he started every game this season except for this week. And, you know, I think me and DW have stressed enough over the weeks how not great he's been. And I'm sure other platforms have done the same. But so it was kind of interesting, like, how will we, you know, we'll see somebody else step up in his absence. And we'll talk about that later. For the Saints, Teron Armstead, he missed practice throughout the week. Ian Book, but that's really no shock. Mark Ingram, he was downgraded midweek, so that was kind of a, you know, surprise midweek. But yeah, he was inactive. Bradley Roby, PJ Williams, and Kenny Stills, who is for some reason still on that team, found his way back home. But that basically sums it up. No huge names, I guess, for the Falcons aside from Jalen Mayfield.
Yeah, and it's funny. One of the writers for the Saints earlier this week said, oh, Mayfield's played 99% of the snaps.
Yeah.
and him being out would be a big loss for the Falcons. And I think he got roasted by Falcons fans. And I added in that, you know, Mayfield was the second to worst pass blocker in the entire NFL from, you know, as far as interior offensive linemen go, guards. And
he gave up the most sacks, I think, into this week for interior offensive linemen. So, yeah, when you say something like that, you instantly might as well just type out, I don't know what I'm talking about.
You're right. Like, and, you know, the thing is, PFF is not perfect. Sometimes the scores go a little screwy. You know, I've talked about that. Sometimes we disagree with what we see in the scores. We, you know, we're not sure what they were seeing sometimes, but as a general guide, I think it's pretty accurate. Like, if you told me Jalen Mayfield was one of the worst offensive guards in the league, I would tend to believe that. And that's what they said. So yeah, for him to sort of tweet that out, it's like, man, just do some basic homework here. This guy is not good. And, you know, like you said, we've talked about Mayfield extensively. Colby Gossett did end up getting the start at left guard for the Falcons. And let's talk about what the Falcons offense did, because yet again, Matt Ryan, 3 sacks behind this offensive line. And that is, I don't think that tells a complete story. He was hit numerous times, pressured numerous times. So give us the rundown of the stats for what the Falcons did offensively.
Yeah, so Matt Ryan went 20 on 33 attempts, 216 yards. He had a touchdown late in the game, 1 yard touchdown to Russell Gage, and a interception. For Matt Ryan, I mean, because basically there's no stats here for the offensive line, so we just kind of tie them into talking about Matt Ryan. For a lot of the game, he had to do really short passes, and people were, you know, mentioning that online, and it was because the offensive line was just getting abused to where Matt Ryan couldn't even really drop back until late in the game, where the Saints, you know, started playing more cover and bringing back some defensive backs. So Matt Ryan had time because he had less pressure. But for most of the game, it was Matt Ryan just quickly trying to get rid of the ball. And we kind of saw that on the ground. It somehow was worse than the first time they played, which had Patterson. I think he had like 9 carries for 10 yards and a touchdown or something. In this game, Mike Davis led the day with 6 carries for 30 yards and 2 fumbles.
Both recovered by the Saints.
Right. And he had 3 receptions for -2 yards. Tremendously awful day for Mike Davis. Quadri Allison, they gave 1 carry to, and he, you know, didn't really do much with it aside from take it 19 yards for a touchdown. Right. I don't know why there wasn't more Allison out there. I mean, I'm kind of like wanting to put this game behind me completely, but I do have questions. Cordero Patterson, another one, 4 carries, 11 yards. He had 1 catch for 1 yard. We've mentioned it on the previews over the last couple of weeks. Patterson's been quiet for like 4 or 5 weeks. I'm not sure why. The usage really hasn't been there. So it could be a lingering ankle injury that he had earlier, but I have no idea. And then Matt Ryan, 1 rush for 2 yards. Through the air, Russell Gage, you know, applause to Russell Gage. He's stepped up because there's been like no one else. 13 targets, caught 9 of them for 126 yards. And that late touchdown I mentioned, a long of 26. Alamide Zaccheaus, 3 receptions, 47 yards. Hayden Hurst, 1 catch. Just 1 catch, but he did make it count for 33 yards. Kyle Pitts, who had a chance to break the rookie tight end record held by Mike Ditka, I think since 1961, only had 2 receptions for 8 yards. Not really a shock because, I mean, it was questionable that he would even end up playing, and he did. But,
yeah,
very quiet day for him. Keith Smith had a catch for 3 yards, but that basically sums up the Falcons offense.
Yeah, those hamstring injuries can be really, you know, troublesome. And it's hard to think that Pitts wasn't hampered a little bit by that. Also, you know, the Saints, if they see him on the field, they're going to, you know, cover him, especially with Patterson being a non-factor in this game. It's odd. It's Mike Rusty in the VSPN noted that I think sometime in the second quarter, Patterson was taken off the field, not just as a running back, but he was initially starting out as a kick returner, and Avery Williams suddenly jumped into that position. And the thing is, and I don't know if fans realize this, but when a player suffers an injury, technically the team is required to report it during the game. That's why you'll often see, you know, those reports, so-and-so player is questionable to return with an XYZ injury. The teams are actually required to make those reports during the game. So if Patterson wasn't playing, like, why? We didn't see any injury reports. So either the team was not compliant with, you know, an NFL rule, which is, you know, problematic, or they flat out benched Patterson, which doesn't make any sense either. I would love to hear. I'm hoping one of the reporters is going to ask about that tomorrow, because honestly, if they turn around and say, oh, well, you know, he was banged up, we just kept him out, like, they're supposed to report that. So it was just handled really weird. We mentioned Colby Gossett. I'll be honest, I saw him get blown up a few times in this game. I think any hope that he was going to be a substantial upgrade over Jalen Mayfield was misguided. There's a reason he hasn't been able to supplant Jalen Mayfield this year. And it's not because Mayfield's great. It's probably because, you know, he's not any better. So I think we probably saw that. Like, he didn't, I wasn't impressed with what he did. And I believe that the 3 sacks today puts Matt Ryan up to 40 sacks on the year. which is an outlandish number. And it seems obvious to me that they have to fix this offensive line next year. Like, this is really, really bad. They cannot go into 2022 just hoping that Jalen Mayfield takes a step forward. You know, that Caleb McGarry gets his act together. You know, even, you know, Matt Hennessy, who's really been a decent run blocker, but has not gotten it done in pass protection. They have to have a plan, because Matt Ryan getting hit 40 more times or sacked 40 more times in 2022 may end his career next year. So, frustrating game. And Evan, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Ryan ended up being short of 4,000 yards this year. So this ends his streak, which was the second longest in NFL history, I think behind only Drew Brees, of consecutive 4,000 yard passing seasons. Although he did get one touchdown, kept his streak live of 20 touchdowns per season. And incidentally, he also set another record, if you want to let the fans know what record he set with that touchdown pass today as well.
Yeah. So entering the game, Matt Ryan was tied with Eli Manning for the ninth most passing touchdowns in NFL history. So he's officially taken that away from Eli Manning with that very late touchdown. It looked like folks, let's peek behind the curtain. I had that pre-written and I was like, oh, guess we're saving this one for next year, because it did not seem like it was going to happen. But then it did. And yeah, he passes Eli Manning. Manning got to that, to the Matt Ryan's at 237, but Eli Manning got to 236 in 366 career games. Eli Manning got to 236 in 366 career games, where Matt Ryan did it in 222nd, got to his 367 mark. So, I mean, he did it in less time. Was that 14 games less than Eli Manning? So that's pretty impressive. And then the next up is Ben Roethlisberger, who it sounds like today was his last regular season game. I think they're actually somehow going to make the playoffs, but
they are.
So those numbers won't count towards this, but for Roethlisberger, he's currently at 418 career touchdowns, and he's next up ahead of Matt Ryan. So that's going to be, you know, about what, 50 touchdowns Matt Ryan's going to need. So it's going to take probably another two seasons, but I mean, that's pretty impressive to be in the top 10. And I know he's top 10 in passing yards. So pretty cool for Matt Ryan.
Yep. Another benchmark for his remarkable career, even as this has been, I think, one of his more difficult seasons ever. I think you could probably put this one next to 2013, because that 2013 offensive line, he got absolutely battered behind because of injuries, and you know, he didn't have Julio Jones. Roddy White was hobbled for most of the year. That was a really, really tough year, and somehow this one feels like it's maybe arguably worse in some ways. Like, Ryan isn't he's 8 years older. You know, like that 2013 Matt Ryan was in his late 20s. This guy is in his mid late 30s, and that is problematic. A few things stood out for me. Russell Gage had a really big game for the Falcons, and he closed out the season strong, Evan. And actually, I think if you're hoping that Russell Gage is going to come back, him playing so well down the back end stretch may make that harder for the Falcons now. Like, if he had continued to be subpar, I think there's a chance that they can keep him going into 2022, but he is a free agent. You know, he is in the last year of his rookie contract, and he may have played himself into a bigger contract with another team. So that is something worth noting. You know, Gage, as you mentioned, had 126 yards today. Of course, the only passing touchdown, receiving touchdown was his. He's a guy that could have, that may end up being, I think there's a strong chance now that he may be somewhere else in 2022. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and it's sad to see, because like, somehow looking at the depth on this team, they're going to have to add a lot. Because if you removed Russell Gage, which it was already thin looking, but you remove Russell Gage, I mean, like, do you feel comfortable with Alamide Zaccheaus, And then you have to go through tight ends, you know, and a, you know, fullback and Keith Smith to, and then there's Cordarrelle Patterson. Oh, the next one receiver outside of those two, Tajay Sharpe had two targets for nothing. Like, and then Christian Blake, like, it's the talent's so bad there that the Falcons are going to have to load up on free agents at receiver. I mean, they kind of have to do that anyways, especially if Calvin Ridley's, you know, on another team next year. So yeah, if they lose Gage, I mean, it's hard to, I mean, as I know, as bad as the offensive line has been, receiving depth is going to be probably just as bad, if not worse. Just, and that's crazy to say, but like, there's nobody else there. I mean, Kyle Pitts, obviously, but all they have to do is stop him.
Yeah. And that's, and honestly, we even saw that when it was just Julio, you know, back in 2014 with that roster. And, you know, Julio was able to rack up some stats, but man, that offense was so bad in that year too, because it was just, it lacked depth. It was just ineffective. And, you know, Ryan occasionally would have a big game where he and Julio would get it going. But yeah, by and large, that you can't have just one weapon.
Right.
Yeah. And look, like, that is true. I know some people are going to point to, oh, you know, Brady's done it. And no, like,
look at his team this year. I know, mean, yeah, like, there's injuries, but like, Mike Evans is, I think he actually today just had their most career touchdowns in Buccaneers history. Like, and then even then, like, before that, he had Antonio Brown, who was good when he played, and Chris Godwin, like, and Gronk still. I mean, and there's, you know, other people on the roster. Like, this is one of the worst receiving rosters in the NFL this season. I mean, and there's teams that aren't going to the playoffs that have a far better receiving depth than we do. Like, it's, you know, everybody wants to pile on Matt Ryan. I get that, but look what he's been working with. Like, it's atrocious.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a lot more about the team, do an assessment of the season, do an assessment of coaching. I'll be honest right now, you know, as I watch Twitter, which is, you know, Twitter's a hellscape anyways, if you're being honest. But if we're watching this, like, you've got fan reactions all over the place. Like, on one side, you see people saying, hey, you know what? I think Arthur Smith did a good job. He got more wins out of arguably a worse roster and worse cap situation. And then you see some fans saying that Arthur Smith should be fired and or murdered in the next couple of weeks. And honestly, I feel like any assessments of this right after the last game are sort of foolhardy. And we're not going to dive into it. It's just not worth it. Not on this podcast. We're here to recap the Falcons game. And we're going to finish up with that. And then future podcasts, we're going to have lots of time to talk about this Falcons team going into 2022. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, we're going to be in good shape for plenty of content to talk about. That's for sure. All right. We're going to talk about what the Saints did offensively. Oh, my God. That makes me want to cry. And what the Falcons did defensively and special teams, because we need to do our shout out for those guys as always. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Falcoholic Podcast. This is Dave Walker. I'm with Evan Birchfield, recapping the Falcons' Week 18 loss, 30-20 in Atlanta to the New Orleans Saints. I do want to clarify one thing. The Saints thought they might have a chance at the playoffs, but they got knocked out when the 49ers beat the LA Rams in overtime. That was a crazy game. And so the 49ers go to the playoffs. The Saints are out. They beat the Falcons. And the only thing that they effectively did was ruin their draft position.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
But you know what that means, right? Next week, we get Cowboys will host the 49ers. Dan Quinn versus Kyle Shanahan.
Oh my God. I didn't even. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great point. That's going to be super interesting.
I don't, have they played since? Like, I don't
know. Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder. I mean, I'm sure they'll be talking about that a lot during the week.
Oh my goodness. I hope it comes down to one of the teams having to run the ball and they don't do it and they lose. Like, that's just what I'm hoping for. Just give me that kind of chaos. Am I petty? Yes, I'm petty.
We have to be something. We're out of the playoffs, so.
and neither are the Saints. Wah, wah.
Right.
Now, on that note, the Falcons officially move into number 8. That is where they will draft in the 2022 draft. They will be at number 8. So they stay inside the top 10. So for those of you who are hoping the Falcons would lose and maintain their draft position, you have gotten what you wanted. On top of that, the Seahawks won, which is partly what moved the Falcons up. I think they came into today being in number 9 in draft position, and the Seahawks win pushes them ahead. So Falcons at 8, they're in prime position to get a really good player. And let's hope this is one of those drafts where, you know, Terry Fontenot really finds a bunch of guys that can help restock the roster, because they need it. They need it badly.
Also, one more thing that happens because of this game. So on the preview, I mentioned the next year. So the Falcons in 2022 will, since they lost to the Saints, will host the Bears in Atlanta. So if you have any Bears fans in Atlanta, you know, tell them the Bears are going to be coming to town. And they will go on the road and face they'll be having a new name, but it's the Washington football team currently. And that'll be a very interesting game. And then also additionally, this game hasn't happened yet, but the loser of the Chargers and Raiders game, which you are, if you're listening to this, you may already know who that is, will come to Atlanta. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So some definite implications across the board. Mm-hmm. Some would say it was in the Falcons' favor to lose this game. I'm never a fan of losing, but I think the final outcome of it, you can look at it and say, okay,
everybody won.
Everyone
got what they wanted. There was two sides of the Falcons: fans that wanted the playoff or the to ruin the playoffs for the Saints, and then the other side wanted the better draft pick. Well, it happened.
Yeah.
Both people walk away happy.
Yep. 100%. Oh my goodness. All right, let's talk about what the Saints did on offense today, because it was offensive if you're a fan of Falcons defense. Evan, give us the rundown for what the Saints did to the Falcons today. Oh God, it's so painful.
Yeah. So Taysom Hill had a nearly perfect passer rating. He finished the day with 153.2 passer rating. That I think it's what, 153 point something else?
153.8.
Like yeah. 0.8. So I don't know how that gets factored in, but he came pretty close before leaving with a foot or ankle injury. But he had
They said it was a Liz Frank injury. So he is probably, that's a bad injury. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm glad you cleared that up. He had 7 completions for 9 attempts, so obviously didn't throw the ball a whole lot. 107 yards and a touchdown, and on the ground, 5 rushes for 18 yards. So Trevor Siemian came in his place and had 9 completions on 15 attempts, 71 yards and 2 touchdowns. When Siemian came in, he pretty much put the game away. Like, when Hill left, there was a realistic chance the Falcons could get back into it, but that did not occur. Siemian kind of slammed the door shut on that one. On the ground, Kamara had 30 carries for 146 yards, 0 touchdowns. Jones, 7 carries, 22 yards. And that's basically it on the ground. Through the air, Taquan Smith, 5 receptions, 76 yards and a touchdown. Adam Trautman, one of their tight ends, had a catch for 18 yards and a touchdown. And Juwan Johnson, another tight end, 1 catch for 5 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, just at one point I said the Falcons just gave up a touchdown to a man who was named after a fish. and I realized that Trautman is spelled a little bit different. But I will not take it back.
It's the same, though.
It sounds the same, and I'm sticking with it. Yeah. oh my goodness. Yeah. Kamara, I think 30 carries was his career high. 146 yards, 4.9 per carry. It's so funny. Like, this year, the Falcons run defense was actually pretty good until these last two games. Like, Josh Allen and the Bills cremated us. And then Alvin Kamara and the rest, you know, they put up 195 total rushing yards on us. Just absolutely brutal. And I think a reminder that this Falcons defensive line really, really needs some massive improvement. Like they're getting gashed on the ground. They finished the year, I believe, with just 17 sacks. I don't think they had a sack today. No, they have one sack. Pardon me. They have one sack of Simeon, so they have 18 sacks on the year. TJ Watt, if I remember right, finished with 22 and a half today.
Yeah, I think he tied the all-time record by...
Yeah, all-time single-season record.
Yeah, I don't think he broke it.
Yeah, so one player has 4.5 more sacks than the entire Falcons roster. That is horrifying.
I just love that JTM hasn't played since Halloween and is still second in sacks on the team.
Yeah. It is. Oh my God. It's so sad.
When you really dive into the stats for the season on defense, like it's a dark hole. Yeah.
Just pain. AJ Terrell continued to be a bright spot. He had another pass deflection in this game. I know he got beat a couple times on passes, but he was his normal self. Foye Luken, incredible season from him. Mm-hmm. Finished with, what'd you say, the seventh most tackles in the NFL season ever?
Yeah.
By a single player. That's crazy. Yep.
192. And what's funny about it is in the top 12, five of those are Jesse Tuggle. Like he's seventh, sixth right now is Jesse Tuggle. Jesse Tuggle was a freaking tackling machine. It's insane.
Yeah. And, you know, Foye, I think there's, you can make a case, and you and I have heard a lot from Falcons fans who are ready to move on from Deion Jones. Mm-hmm. The reality is right now, Deion Jones has a contract with the Falcons in 2022. Foye Luken does not. Deion Jones right now has a $20 million cap hit in 2022 for the Falcons. The only way to get any relief from that is to find a trade partner who will take on his $9.6 million salary. And that is that may be a big ask. Like they can't cut him. If they cut him, they're actually not going to save cap space. And I just don't think that there is a way with their cap space next year that they keep both Deion Jones and Foye Luken. And so if you're a big fan of Foye and you're done with Deion Jones, you would better hope there's a team that's willing to trade something for him, even if it's peanuts. Because right now, if you're asking me to make a guess, my guess is Deion Jones is back and Foye is not, simply because it's going to be too impossible to pay both guys. And disappointing because I think Foye right now is the better linebacker of the two. The team loves him. You can tell Dean Pees loves what Foye does out there. I personally think right now Foye is better than Deion Jones.
Absolutely.
In the way he's playing. But the cap situation, the contract, this will be something interesting to watch how this plays out. Another name that's super interesting, man. He finished with 11 tackles in this game. Sean Williams, safety, you know, brought in sort of in the last few games because of the injuries to Eric Harris and you know, when Jalen Hawkins was on the COVID list, but he has played his way into some significant snaps, and he's a name to keep an eye on for next year as a potential, you know, rotational guy back there. He's actually, I think, played fairly well for what they've wanted from him. But all in all, you know, Falcons gave up 30. I don't blame the defense a whole lot in this one because two of those fumbles from Mike Davis set the Saints up in really good field position. Mm-hmm. Like I think they were inside the Falcons 30 in both situations. And, you know, that's a tough place to put the Falcons defense. So they gave up 30, but I think all in all, you know, not a terrible performance from them. Just, you know, more of the same. They couldn't get pressure. They got gashed by the run and they dropped another one at home. Mm-hmm. And just as an additional shout out, thank God for our special teams. I don't know about you, Evan, but I actually think special teams this year was pretty good in total. Yeah. What are your thoughts on special teams? I mean, you know, Avery Williams at returner, Thomas Morstead at punter, and of course, Younghoe Koo at kicker.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked what I saw. Younghoe Koo in this game actually tied his career long 54 yards, which yep. he set in 2020. And then they brought in, you know, late in the season, Morstead, who's been a very good punter, I think, for the Falcons. Against the Saints, had 48 yards as his long. One of them went inside the 20. And if you follow PFF stuff, like, he's been a top five punter this season. So hopefully they keep him around. As you mentioned, Avery Williams, like, he's been great. Really like what I've seen from him, you know, as a rookie, seeing what he can do in year two. And then Josh Harris is going to freaking Pro Bowl as a long snapper. So, yeah, I think special teams is really one of the few, actually the only unit you can go, okay, well, like, this worked out well. But everything else, offense, defense has some issues. But special teams, I think there's some, you know, promising things there going into next season. So we'll see what happens. Morstead, I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I think he's just, what, on a one-year deal because he signed late in the season. So hopefully they bring him back, assuming he wants to come back, you know, because I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I hope that they can bring him back. His ability to pin teams inside their 20 was a changer. Like, you know, early on in the season, we weren't doing that. And he comes in and it's like consistently just booming them and pinning them. And it's that is an underrated need, but field position makes a difference, especially with the Falcons this year when they were struggling on offense and on defense.
And we were talking about, not to cut you off, but Patterson earlier about how the lack of usage. Avery Williams has gotten far more play in the kick returns. Did you notice that too? And today he had three returns for 85 yards. Do you know what that averages out to?
Let's see here. Kick returns.
You can probably guess. It's happened before.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
28.3.
Of course.
I swear that's happened before with Williams. It's bizarre, but.
Oh my God. The universe is cruel, cold, and hates us all.
It really is. And it's in my contract. When I notice something like that, I have to say it.
So we have to bring it up. We have to. Oh my God. That hurts. Actually, it doesn't hurt anymore. I'll be honest. Yeah, I'm just sort of numb. But it is kind of funny to see that number pop back up. So, all right. This obviously closes out the Falcons season. It was, you know, Falcons finished with a 7-10 record, three more wins than last year, top 10 pick. They do split, you know, with the Saints this year instead of sweeping them, which is unfortunate, but we did beat them in New Orleans, which was fun. And we're going to have a lot more to talk about at the Falcoholic as we get in the draft season, as we talk about free agency, as we do our, you know, full evaluation of this season, the roster, the coaches, all of it. And sort of look forward to what 22 may look like for the Falcons, because honestly, the thing that is the most jarring to me about thinking about this Falcons team, they only have 31 players under contract for 2022, which means this roster could look dramatically different going into next season. And that's going to change the entire complexion. Like, if you're trying to predict now what the Falcons are going to look like in 2022, in my mind, it's sort of a foolhardy assignment, because this team has a lot of free agents and they're not going to be able to keep them all. So yeah, we're going to be here at the Falcoholic to talk about it. This is going to be really, really, really critical offseason for Falcons, and can't wait to dive deep with you, Evan, with our other writers and with our guests that we're going to have this year. It's going to be a fun one. And if nothing else, incredibly interesting, because this could be a absolutely make or break draft class and free agency for the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Also, it's going to be fun in 2022 because we might see red helmets again, because 2022 NFL teams can wear an extra helmet. And I think I'm most excited for that. more than anything else. Because red helmets can't let me down. Whatever the Falcons do, it can go either way, but red helmets won't let me down.
Nope, they will not. Oh, man. On that note, Evan, our final post-game podcast of the 2021 season. Remind our listeners where they can find you, what you have going on.
You can find me on Twitter at Birchfield, and then just all our great content at thefalcoholic.com. Now that we know kind of how the rest of the standings are, aside from playoffs, and that the Falcons pick eighth, I mean, there's already been a ton of good draft content, but that's just going to keep flowing even more. One of our writers, Kevin Knight, is actually going to the Senior Bowl later this month. So yeah, just go to thefalcoholic.com for pretty much everything. And then if you don't mind, on Instagram, follow @_Falcoholic, and then the Falcoholic on Facebook and Twitter.
Yep. As for me, guys, you can follow me on the Twitters at @FalcoholicDW, updates for this podcast at @FalcoholicPod, and of course our articles daily at thefalcoholic.com. The last time for the 2021 season, for Evan Birchfield, this is Dave Walker. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll talk with you next time.